Tom was born in 1955 in Champaign, Illinois. He became an author, a voice actor, a woodworker, and a radio personality. In 1986, he's working in Homer, Alaska. He's on the local NPR radio station, and a director of an ad agency heard his voice, and he decided he wanted to talk to him. And talked to him, and he hired him on the spot to do a national radio ad. And he would go on because of that one little opportunity to become one of the most recognizable voices on the radio. And he would attempt to draw people into a motel chain with his tagline, "I'm Tom Baudette, and we'll leave the light on for you." I'm sure most of you that are a little older have heard that. They're still using it. He's in a lawsuit right now with Motel 6 over some kind of rights, and so that will not be going on after November unless they work that out. But he had that line, "We'll leave the light on for you." Let me give one more example here. In April of 1630, and this is my wheelhouse now, John Winthrop came from England to help found the Massachusetts Bay Colony in the American colonies. He came over because they disagreed with the Church of England, and they were really having problems in England with what their beliefs were. He believed that the Anglican Church had gotten too close to what the old Catholic Church was, as far as if you're wealthy, you just pay some money and your sins are forgiven. So he moved over to the colonies, and this being a colony, a theocracy, that the government and the ministers are the same. He was the governor as well as the recognized as the top minister in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. This was a colony that was very strict. You didn't follow exactly what they did to a T. You could be banished. I thought, okay, what's the big deal about a banishment? Banishment back then was pretty bad. You're driven out, you're given nothing, and you're out in the middle with the Native Americans who are not real happy with you because you're pushing them off your land. So it was pretty rough at the time. But John Winthrop is most known for a sermon. And last I saw, it's in the top 50 sermons of all time given. But it's entitled "A City Upon a Hill." And in this sermon, his most famous quote from it is, "For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon the hill, and the eyes of all people are upon us." So they considered this a religious experiment of such that everyone's going to be watching to see, are they being prosperous? Are they being productive? Or is this going to fall apart? So he did believe that that was a city upon a hill and that everyone is watching that. Well, brethren, we're about to face that. We are coming together in different places where we're that city upon the hill, we're that light, and they're going to look at us, and that light's going to be light, or that light's going to be dark, and they're going to say, this is not the example that we should set. Now, given all of this talk about lights and cities, the title of this sermon is "Open Your Window." Doesn't exactly fit with lights, but I think it will tie in at the end. In the past, we've all gone to feasts where we've had the reputation, and I know Jekyll Island was certainly one, where we were the church that could really drink. You know, their liquor stores would stock up because we were coming. It wasn't the feast of booths, it was the feast of booze in many cases. And when we look at that example, I'm not sure that's the example we're supposed to leave. So today, as we're getting ready to leave, we have the chance to show our true light. And I want to look at an example in the Bible where it's not just they could see our light. This takes it a whole different level of this is who we are. Let's go to Daniel 6, if you will. And we all know the story of Daniel, where he is such a great person that the other leaders, they cannot stand him, and they want to set him up. because he is that light. He is that light. Let's go to Daniel 6 and verse 3. We'll start with. It said, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." So you know the others are full of jealousy. So verse 4, it says that this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. This guy did it by the book. He followed every law. They couldn't get anything on him. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. But they found something to use against him, and that was his belief in God. Verse 5. "Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God.'" Now, we may never face the challenges that Daniel has, but are we faced every day with challenges, of course, lesser consequences, but challenges where we follow God or we follow man? We have to stand every day. It could be a Sabbath issue. I know someone in here is facing an issue about the feast in the future. These are tough, tough decisions. But it could be a moral issue. It could be a family or marriage issue, where you know there's scripture that points you in the right direction. But it's easier to not face them, isn't it? Can we face them the way Daniel did? I remember my very first year of teaching. The feast I was concerned about, that was 11 years ago, I guess. And my principal didn't make me, but he asked me to come back during the feast. First year teacher, I'm worried. And I came back during the feast. Came back for just a day and a half, and then went back. If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't do it. But you realize that you either stand or you don't. It's either you got to stand for what you believe or you don't. I didn't at that time. I hope I've grown since then. But it's those little decisions that show us, are we leaving? Is that light shining in us? We got to stand and say, no, no matter what, I'm not giving up. Let's go on with Daniel and see his example, because it puts most of us to shame. Daniel 6, let's go on to verse 6. It says, "So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'May King Darius live forever.' The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Nothing like appealing to a king's ego to get him to agree to this, even though Darius at that time really believed in Daniel. "So King Darius put the decree in writing." It's a tough one to say. So now, Daniel's being tested. Daniel's being set up by that. But as we get closer to the end, how are we going to stand if we face this stuff? If we face some of the persecution, prosecution, whatever it is, we could be faced with some very serious things. What if we are threatened with jail time for standing up for our beliefs, whatever they are? There are some beliefs that we hold that the world consider hate crimes now. So are we willing to stand up for them? Will we stand up or will we give in? May have very hard choices to make. But if we look at the examples of courage from the Bible, and for a man, I don't think there's a better example of courage than Daniel. It's really not that hard when you look at what they did. When you look at Hebrews 11, what those people went through, to just obey God. not as hard when you look at what they went through and consider, oh, we're being persecuted. We're not being persecuted if you read the Bible. We're just being tested a little bit. But let's look at what Daniel did when faced with a trial like this. This isn't a trial like, oh, you may get in a little trouble for this. This is very serious stuff. Let's look at what he did. Daniel 6, verse 10. This is what the whole title is about. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. In other translations, it says he opened his windows toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he'd done before. Now, Daniel could have obeyed God, followed God, prayed. I don't think any of us open our windows so our neighbors could see us. But he could have obeyed God without showing people that he was obeying God. He could have continued. He knew this meant certain death. He's about to be ripped apart by animals, and yet he opened the window. He opened the window so people could see. And this is the opportunity that we have in the next week when we run into people we've never met before, we'll never meet them again, but we open that window or we shine that light that others can see. This is who we are. This is who we are. Always respected my in-laws. They don't believe like we do, but she's always said something about our church. And she said, I realize that you guys don't compromise. And I don't think you could say much that's better than that because we don't compromise. But when you see what Daniel did, and then we see, for many of us, it's easier to just avoid a conversation about religion than to actually engage in it. When you look at what Daniel did, we're doing it just because it's uncomfortable. And Daniel opens that window because he knows. He basically threw himself into a lion's den right then and there when he did that. Basically threw himself into a lion's den just because of that. We may never face the challenges that Daniel did. Hopefully we never do. But we are about to have that chance again to let others see inside. To open that window. You know, maybe we go out to eat and a waitress or a waiter is having a bad day. And I think about it and I think, they're not really going to put someone out there that's awful anyway. Maybe they're just having a bad day. Are we going to be that? I may get in trouble here, but are we going to be that Karen that we hear about that always asks for the manager? You know, that's kind of the term we have today. Or are we going to be one that sets the example and realize, hey, maybe this person's just having a bad day? Whatever it is, do we give them, what would Christ have done? Call the manager, or would he have given them his coat as well as his shirt, as it says? We have that chance. We've occasionally been in a grocery store, and I think it's happened to me twice, where someone's in front of us. It was during COVID both times. They're buying baby formula and they're putting stuff back because they can't afford baby formula and their food. Are we the ones that are going to set that example? I mean, we're at the feast also and say, no, that's on me if you run into that situation. Do we do that and set that example? Because I think about the feast and think about these verses about the lights. And going into a airport, you'll see the runway lights. And occasionally you will see one that is out. That's the light that sticks out, isn't it? That's the light you realize it just doesn't fit. Because all these lights are bright and you've got that one light that's out. That's not the light that we should be. That's not the light that we should be. So, brethren, let's look at Matthew 5. Again, mine is more of a sermonette, so I think this is going to work out well. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount. This is our opportunity in the next week to influence people that we've never truly probably seen before. we're around the same people all the time. Hopefully our light is reflecting and showing with those. But these are people that maybe we'll never see again, but as a group, because we're going to stand out more as a group. This is our way to let our light shine. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." There's the city on the hill John Winthrop was talking about. "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So we have a chance to go to the feast and be an example where people look at us and say, "Wow, those people, I want to be like that. Those people are a light." But remember, if you're that one burned out light, that one light can ruin everything. That one light can make everyone look and realize, "Ooh, they don't have it together. Look at this. Look at this guy. Hopefully it's not me. Could be." But remember, we don't want to be the ones known as, "Oh, let's stock up the liquor stores because they're going to kill it." That's not, I don't think that's the goal of the feast. But let's go to the feast with the goal of being an example to whoever we're able to touch, whoever we're able to come be in contact with, and let our light shine. I'm going to take Tom Baudet's quote and say, "We'll let our light shine and we'll leave the window open for you."